Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
So I feel like he was getting gaslit into thinking like he was love bombing when really he wasn't. And I feel like you don't agree with me right now too, just looking at your face.
I didn't say anything yet. Another week, another matching session with me and Amir. At this point, guys, I promise you it's not planned. We just show up and I'm like, why are you copying my outfit? But like now we're just coordinated, not matching.
Why is it that you're the one who's copying me? Why can't it be the other way around?
Literally, I got dressed before you.
What?
Yeah, I got dressed before you.
There's no way.
Yeah, remember I told you I'm going to pray Asr and then I'm going to get dressed.
But you left at what time? Okay, you left at Maghrib, which means that technically I left with a complete outfit. Whoever leaves the house with the outfit on first
is
the one
about?
Who wore that outfit first.
That does not
there
count.
Was a chance that you could have changed it before you left the house.
But I never saw you. So also you have an eyelash on your nose.
Shit. It could be my cat.
True, do you have cat hair?
Actually, no. I wore this, thankfully, after I was with them.
Okay.
Speaking of cats. No. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast.
First on the docket. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Through this podcast, you might see me wince. You might hear me go, ow, something like that. Because currently, my forearm feels like someone snapped it in half. And then, like, poorly put it back together and didn't give me a cast to hold it in place. Cause
what happened?
I have no idea. And that's actually the thing I want to talk about. Like, so I know we joke a lot about how, like, you wake up. Once you turn 30, you know, you start having the knee pain and all that stuff.
Okay, you and Aisha say that. But, like, when I turned 30, I was thriving. I didn't have no knee pain. I don't know what happened.
You know what?
Y'all.
I live a hard life. You know, I didn't get a soft life like my co-host here. I had to work and, you know, get my hands dirty,
no, but same.
Built up some callus over time.
Literally
and got
same
on my
here, though.
What? I mean, pause. What? But one thing they don't tell you is that it's not only your knees. It's like you start getting injuries in places you didn't know you could get injuries.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if I talked about this. By the way, you might hear our moms in the background.
Did you
whenever they get together?
Did you close the door in the middle?
Maybe you should close that.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now,
gonna
just
close
in case.
That. 1 second, guys. Brief intermission.
So yeah, what I was getting at is that one thing they didn't tell you is that you get injuries in places you never knew you could get injuries. Like, I don't know if I talked about this a few weeks ago. Did I talk about my physio trip?
No, you went to physio?
Yeah.
Wow, it's
no,
about time.
I had to because, I, like, you know, someone in their post, you know, 30s, I just woke up one day and I could not walk on one leg. Like, my hip was so tight, I couldn't drive without feeling pain. My knee was okay, of course, that was expected, but my knee was even in more pain than normal. And like, it felt like someone had like was constantly punching me in the side of my hip. Yeah. So then,
but like, what kind of workouts are you doing?
No, that's the thing. It wasn't, ironically enough, it was a lack of something, and you'll see why. So I was kind of trying to just, you know, when you work out for a while, some people might know this, like sometimes you get an injury and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to like try and let it wait it out. Because usually it'll go away after some time. You might do some rehab yourself, like search up online. Mm. But I couldn't really find anything on what specifically I was feeling.
Yeah.
So I just bit the bullet. And I was like, I'm going to physio, which for a lot of people know me is like the last thing I want to
do.
Yeah,
I'm very shocked that
yeah,
you
it's like
that.
I have all these benefits. I don't want to use them.
The most
which
backwards
makes no sense.
Logic.
Yeah. So I pulled up to physio and like they're doing the whole assessment. I'm telling them, you know, I have this pain. They're like making me stand in the middle of the room, stand on one leg, touch top of my head and like bend my knee.
Why? Is that like a test or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, they're like testing your knee strength. They're like telling
you.
You
fell over?
What?
Did you fall over?
I actually had some pretty good balance. You know, she was impressed.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're making me do all that and after they assessed me, they're basically, yeah, so your booty's weak. She literally said, like, your glutes are weak. And it's,
that's what
well,
caused...
specifically my left glute. Was it my left? Yeah. No, my right glute was weak. And because of that, like, my this muscle on the front of my leg, like it connects from like the top of your knee to your hip. I forget the name of that muscle now. I probably should know what that is, but that specific muscle was always super tight.
Oh.
And because it was super tight, it was causing that tightness in my leg and it was pulling on my knee, and that's why I had the knee pain. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
So she's like, okay, get butt naked. No, I didn't actually get butt naked. But she told me, like, you know, take off the pants. I was wearing some like shorts at the time or whatever. And she was able to work around that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no. I had to wear a gown. I didn't know this was coming.
I had to wear
a hospital gown. And they're like, okay, you're going to turn over and we're going to take some gel. It looked like they were about to set me up for like an ultrasound. I'm like, are you trying to look inside of my leg?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, this, you're going to feel some slight like shocks here. I'm like, what? And then she starts like, she takes this gun and she puts all that like oil or that cream on my leg. And she starts shocking that part to basically, it's basically like how, you know, how you roll out your leg sometimes with the foam thing. It's like an electronic version of that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it kind of relieved it a little bit, like very little. But essentially said, like, whenever you have time, like stand at a wall and start doing like kickbacks.
Oh.
It's like basically like those workouts that you see on every like glute workout video that you've seen from a girl or whatever. You just have to, you know, kick your leg back to squeeze the glutes. Mm-hmm. And ironically enough, like, the reason this all started, the glute stuff, is because I felt like I had too big of glutes. Like, to the point where, like, first off, everybody was making comments about it. And none of my...
Like we bullied him.
Literally. I had an injury because I got bullied into it. Literally.
Okay. Okay. No,
look. Okay.
Hold on.
It was, and, like, it was getting so bad. Even for me, it was costing me stuff because it was getting to the point where all my pants, like, would have that gap on the back of them. The thing that most women want, I was getting that on my pants. To the point where I would put on like belts and I would like tie them extra tight so that it wouldn't do that. But then I would end up with belts that all ended up in the shape of a V.
Oh my God.
So I just literally stopped working on my glutes. Like I stopped doing all glute workouts.
Really? I feel like squats. Like squats, deadlifts were your thing.
Even squats, I stopped for a while. Really? Mainly because I moved into the new apartment and like the bar there, I just wasn't feeling it. And actually, an injury I got a few months ago was because I was also doing squats. So I kind of let off on it for a while. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that added to it because I stopped completely at that point. But yeah, like it was noticeable at one point. You know, I could have probably like, I don't know, if I was desperate enough, I could have put on like some tights. Started an Instagram fitness page, started selling some workouts for building glutes.
There's a guy like that, but that's sort of that's, I don't know.
I said I was desperate enough. Okay. I'm not there yet. You never know in the future.
That's crazy.
I am working on it now. So if you see any improvement, I can start selling a program. But
you're not trying to grow the glutes. You're trying to strengthen them.
Yeah. Now, essentially, like half my workouts are just towards strengthening my glutes, and it is working. Like I don't have that pain anymore.
Oh wow.
Like it's not 100% gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like 90% there, and it's been maybe a few weeks since I've gone to the physio, so it definitely helped.
Yeah,
I was supposed to go back for another few sessions, but of course I don't like using my benefits, so I didn't go back.
I'm here,
but I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
You say that now, watch next week, guys. It's gonna be like, so I had to go back to physio.
No, it's good. Okay, my glutes are perfectly fine now. They're firing on all cylinders. You know, even if it's going to cost me a couple belts, I'm good.
That's crazy.
But yeah, like this. And I woke up randomly today with another injury in a place I've never gotten an injury. Like it's not, I have an injury currently where it's in the middle of my forearm to where I mentioned when I first started, like how it felt like someone broke it in half. And it feels like that anytime, like right now I'm feeling it. Anytime I move my wrist, so I feel like it has something, maybe I bruise my bone somehow. I don't remember hitting it. People say like, or some people are saying like, oh, I could have hurt it when I was in my sleep, but I literally sleep on my back, so there's no way. Like my arm is just on me.
I was gonna ask, like, did you maybe like sleep with it like bent?
I never sleep on my side. Maybe sometimes like in the morning, you know, when you're like just getting out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I shoot out of bed, but there are a couple of days where you're kind of just like, you sit in there for a little bit and I turn around for a second, but I don't like go into deep sleep after that. I kind of just like sit there for a bit for maybe five minutes and then I jump out.
You must have fractured a bone because when
I fractured
my like wrist bone, it felt like something was broken because it basically was. But I had to wear a brace. Remember that time?
Maybe.
It was like 2019, I think.
Damn, girl.
It's a while ago.
I have a 1 year, you know, damn, memory log right now, okay?
Yeah, there's a limit. My bad. Sorry.
My hard drive isn't as big as everyone else's, okay?
His is still at like 64 gig.
For real, though? Still in the 90s, bro. Barely 64 gigs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but honestly, as someone who works out and other people work out, like I mentioned, like you get used to being on this cycle where you have an injury, you kind of work it off for a bit, then you're good and you're like firing on all cylinders for maybe like a month, and then a random one pulls up out of nowhere. And it happens to me all the time. I always have this feeling where like, when is the ball gonna drop? And the ball just dropped.
But like when you get those injuries, don't you take care of yourself?
You do your own physio or your own rehab, basically. So like you can go online and you can literally search up, like I had rotator cuff issues all the time, and those have gone out. That has gone away almost completely now, but that's because I did the rehab and then I continued with the stretches to avoid it from happening again. So you live and learn basically when you're working out, especially if you're someone like me who avoids going to physio altogether.
You shouldn't avoid that. Like, now is your time to, like...
Well, like, the thing is that I learn more just doing it myself. So, like, I went to physio just to learn what the issue was. And then I'm like, okay, bet. I know what the issue is. I feel like I work out enough and I have enough experience to where I can kind of take it from there and just figure it out myself.
If we have any, like, physiotherapists listening to this, is Amir's approach correct? Or is he just going to further cause damage?
They'll agree. I feel like they'll agree with you. Okay? All the physio people out there, don't you feel like after the first session, if someone is experienced enough with, you know, past injuries or whatever, and you give them tips for what they can do for rehab, usually that's enough, is it not? Like, it depends on, okay, maybe the speed of their recovery is going to change. But overall or ultimately, you're still going to feel improvements over time. And that was just my goal. My goal is just to feel some improvements over time.
Yeah.
I wasn't in any rush. I could still do all my other workouts perfectly fine.
Okay.
Sure, I was like uncomfortable driving for a while, but whatever, you know, you get used to it.
Damn, you might need to get those
What?
Remember in the 90s?
Oh, the beads?
Yeah, the beaded like seat thing. A lot of our dads are taxi drivers.
I was low-key thinking of getting like those seat cushions, the big seat cushions they use now.
Oh, like it's like the upgraded gel version. One?
Yeah.
No, but I feel like the bead one was like, that was kind of traumatizing, because remember when we were kids, we'd want to sit in the driver's seat.
Yeah, and it just felt so weird. Yeah.
Ew, I don't like this.
But I'm sure like it was some, it's like those foot pads. Yeah, those foot pads they use.
The Chinese like foot massager thing, right?
Yeah.
With the wooden beads.
Was it wooden beads?
I feel like
it had like spikes on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like just having that like constant
pressure
helps. It's like acupuncture, no?
Kind of.
I don't know. We'll search up the science on what those beads were.
Potentially.
But yeah, so just get ready for that for all of you guys getting past your 30s.
Okay, but I will say,
what?
This like sudden pain at 30. To me. It's not unique to you.
Yeah.
But like I didn't you know, when I actually started to experience it more was when I started running.
See?
But that's because I learned a lot training for that 5K was because I was wearing the worst shoes. I wore like really flat shoes that I was wearing like indoors in the gym.
Yeah.
And the shin splints I would get and like my ankles were weak, so I had to strengthen that and do like calf raises and stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is that like it's because your body is learning to adapt.
Yeah.
You're going to go through like they say no pain, no gain, right?
No, literally though.
So literally like your body is like, okay, now I'm going to have to recover in a way that I can deal with this pressure in the future, which is how your muscles work, right? You tear your muscles when you're working out. That's essentially what's happening. And then it rebuilds stronger so that it can handle whatever weight you're using next time.
That's true.
And then that's why progressive overload is like the best way to gain strength. You just keep adding more and more, keep tearing more muscle, and it grows back even stronger. True. Just like how they say your bones grow stronger when you break them or whatever, right?
I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
Someone told you that?
Yeah, people say like when you break a bone and they like set it and it heals again, it usually grows back stronger.
I didn't know that.
I'm sure that the science is right there, okay? Whatever. We'll Google that afterwards. Leave it in the comments for all our nurses and doctors and other health scientists out there. Let us know.
We've never broken a bone before. So if you've ever broken a bone, yeah, alhamdulillah, may Allah protect us from it. But like, if you've ever broken a bone, let us know. Did it grow back stronger?
How would they know though?
Because they...
Test it again?
Yeah.
It's like, do the exact same thing that broke your bone earlier. Let's see if it happens again.
Yeah, true. I don't know how they would know. But like, did it?
I'm sure.
It's a fair question.
Yeah, leave that in comments.
But... yeah, we want to know.
Next on the docket.
How's fatherhood going, Amir?
Fatherhood.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
Has been fulfilling.
I have to say.
It's been a journey.
So many people fell for the clickbait.
I know.
We actually got a DM. Someone like legit congratulated you and I felt really? So bad. I was like, oh.
Oh, like they legit like
yeah, congratulated like, on mashallah, being... mabruk, so happy for you, Amir. And I said, oh.
That just shows you didn't even watch the clip, bro. You didn't even watch the glam clip.
I know. I thought I gave it away by putting the cat emoji. Like, yeah. No, people believed it.
Well, technically I am, you know, to them, a father of two black cats, actually, which apparently is a controversy. Okay. I just always wanted black cats. But yeah, so I got two cats with Hanan over the weekend, and it's definitely been a learning experience.
Has it?
Yeah. You know, it's already hitting the pockets a bit. Okay.
How?
Okay. Not like a lot. So the story goes like on Sunday, we ended up pulling up to the adoption place. We got the cats. Mm. And for the good first like positive sign to us was that we had the carriers in our hands.
Yeah.
And they already had the two cats out just in the on the main floor area with in the adoption area. And they saw us. We put our carriers down and immediately, because they're sort of curious, they crawled into the carriers and just sat there.
Oh.
And we're like, okay. And we just like zipped it up. And they were kind of chilling for a second. I don't think they realized what was happening yet.
Yeah.
At least one of them. So we were like signing all the papers. We were making sure everything's taken care of. And then we start like carrying them out.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately one of them just starts freaking out.
Like,
yeah,
like
we start
jumping around.
Yeah. And like not jumping around, but like, you know, sticking his head on the mesh. Because we had the carrier that has like mesh on the top and on the sides. So like sticking his head there, trying to see what's going on. And the other one, this is where we found out immediately that they have two completely different personalities. The other one, nothing, literally nothing, just sitting there, like staring out, just, okay, I guess this is life now,
right?
So we're like, okay, that's a cool one, right? So, we get them into the car and we feel so bad because the one that starts freaking out is now like, you've seen a dog pant before, right?
Yeah.
It was basically doing that.
The cat was stressed.
Yeah, he was super stressed.
Oh,
and then
no.
We're like, okay, we're ready to go. But we forgot. I don't know why we didn't do this. At first, we should have. We knew we had to get some supplies first. Like maybe find out what their food is. Because they tell you what their food is, what their litter is that they use. So because you kind of have to bring in what they're used to first before you use whatever you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
So we completely forgot to buy that ahead of time. So we had to take them to the car, and I had to stay back with them, and then I had to run in and run around the place trying to find exactly what they eat. So I finally like pick up their litter, coming back. It's not getting any better with that cat. Like she's trying to keep him calm, but he's just you know, he's meowing a little bit, but he's mainly panting, like, like really stressed. Because whenever a cat starts panting, that's how they're super, super stressed at that point. So I'm trying to like speed my way home at the same time, trying to be the most defensive and like safe driver at the same time. And this is like, it was on a Sunday morning / midday ish, so there wasn't a lot of traffic, thankfully. But you, when you have something or someone in the back that you're trying to like keep calm, you feel every single bump on the road. Every single one. Like, you don't feel this normally when you're driving in a car. We were driving in like a newer car. We borrowed my parents' car for that weekend, so it had a little bit more like suspension, but still it wasn't enough. Like, the cats were kind of like freaking out. The other one was totally chill. It was totally fine. Like, wasn't saying nothing. He's kind of looking at his bro being like, yo, just chill, bro. Like, what are you doing? The way that he's looking at there's one point where we like turned them to each other because they're bonded. So we were hoping that one would like calm down the other, and it kind of did, but he did not stop panting. But alhamdulillah, we made it home. And we were able to like take them upstairs, and they say for cats, like, it's good to have them have like a separate room first so they can kind of get acclimated to a safe area, and then you can kind of let them roam free for the rest of the apartment. So we did that for like the first day or so. But like, they told us the cats were super chill, and we realized like after that cat kind of calmed down for a bit, they like were pretty chill. Like, we got into the room, they weren't exactly like they were hiding a little bit, but they were still pretty friendly still. Like, a lot more friendly than we thought they would be on the first day. And by the second day, they're almost completely comfortable already. It was almost like, oh yeah, okay, this is life now.
And they explored the whole apartment?
Yeah, they were exploring it. And that's where like we really started learning, right?
Oh no, what'd they do?
Because we were told that like one of them will eat anything. But when they say that cat eats anything, we didn't know that it meant anything, as in whether it be organic or not.
What do you mean?
So like, after the first night, I come back to the room that they're initially in, because we let them stay in that room. We didn't open the door for that one. And I look at my like USB cable and I just see like, I see like chew marks in there. Thankfully, it was like a braided one, so it didn't completely get through it. But at that point, we're like, one of these, we didn't know yet. We didn't, like, one of these cats is like chewing on cables, and this is not good. And we actually had like the automatic water bowl, and it was sticking out because it was kind of in a cubby initially, and we thought maybe they would be too scared to drink from it. First of all, they don't drink nothing, okay? Except for one of them. One of them kind of drinks every once in a while, but cats are impossible to get them to drink water.
Yeah, I know.
So we pulled it out, and it had a plug, right? Cable that goes back. Next thing I know, I look at that cable, like I'm trying to move it, and I see like chew marks on that cable as well. So this cat has no discretion at all. It's going to go after whatever it can.
Oh my God.
Right? And so now we're like kind of scared. Like, what are they going to do? But for some reason, I didn't think, okay, maybe we should cat proof everything before we let them into the rest of the apartment. And that was our biggest mistake, because once we let them out of the room, first off, like, We bought a cat tree, and we were told like a lot of times that cats will like not really, sometimes they may not even take to a cat tree, or like they might not take to whatever you put out for them. They're taking to everything we put out for them. We got them a cat tree, they started using it immediately. They're very curious. Like, they want to see every single corner of your apartment. When I say every single corner, I mean like they will go up to a corner and start rubbing its face all over it.
Because they're marking their
territory. Yeah, they're marking their territory. And there's definitely one that's more dominant than the other. Because we never noticed until even like maybe yesterday or today. Yeah, probably yesterday, where one is much larger than the other. Not much larger, but large enough to where it's noticeable than the other. And yeah, it started going around the apartment. We tried to keep our like, we tried to keep our bedroom like separate so they can't go in there, because, you know, I have allergies, and we'll get to how I'm dealing with those, right? So I have allergies, so
you want
to
have at least
I
like want to
have
space.
Like one space where they, it's like clear of them completely.
At least
until I know for sure that everything will be fine. And also, going back to the cat that's eating everything, when we let them out of that room, the first things they went for were the plants.
I knew it. I
the
literally
first
told you
thing.
This. I knew it.
And like, but first we were going to be like, okay, let's see what happens, right? Because some cat, no, because some cats might ignore it. We've been, my partner, not my partner, sorry. One of my coworkers was like, oh yeah, you know, what, my cats, they don't touch plants. They don't really touch cables at all, that kind of thing. Mm. So we're like, okay, maybe they might be like that. No, not even for a second. Like, they were going after the plants because we had plants on the floor as well.
Yeah.
So they were going for those. And you have to search up, like, which ones are poisonous. And yep. we found out, like, half of them were poisonous to them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So our bedroom is not only, like, a safe space, but it's for us, but for the plants as well.
Listen, the oxygen's going to be on 10 in that
room.
For
real, though, right? Yeah, so that's definitely been a change, having to get used to that. And I think it was on the first night that we let the cats out into the whole apartment itself. Like, at this point, they were acclimated. We gave them food. They were, like, they actually got used to us very quickly, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So the first night, we, like, left the door open for them so they can go wherever they want. That's when they just went ham.
Yeah, I don't know, like, why you would do that.
There were some plants that we thought they wouldn't be able to touch. You see, like, half the leaves just, like, eaten from them. And, like, there was a long cable we had on our couch.
Oh.
We stuffed it to hide it from them. Somehow, they pulled it out and, like, ripped that thing into five different pieces.
Amir!
We had a subwoofer from our speaker system for our TV. Cable in the back chewed off right from the end of the subwoofer.
No!
They got to the back of the TV and they had, like, optical cable for the sound. Cut that in half. Like,
oh my God.
They went crazy on every cable they could find. I don't know if it's one of them or both of them. It's definitely one of them that I'm seeing. Like, they'll do it in front of you. You'll see them in front of you looking at a cable. You'll be like dealing with the cable. They'll come up to sniff it and start biting at it immediately.
Yes, you have to listen. Trust me.
What?
I still have iPhone chargers that have chew marks from my cat. Like, how many years ago? You have to teach them from now, because if they continue with this behavior, how are you gonna live?
Well, what I started doing was, like, even today, after they chew the optical cable, because that's the only way we're getting sound. The sound on our TV, we have an old TV that we, like, took as a hand-me-down that's 20 years old or whatever. So the only way we get sound is through the sound system. So I got, like, this, like, cable cover thing, and I covered all the cables in it.
Oh my
so
God.
They can't get through. And the sad thing is that as I was doing that, there's, like, an extra piece of that cable cover I left on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why they start chewing on that.
Oh my God.
But hopefully it's big enough to where, like, they can't really get through it. That's what my hope is, at least. So that was our.
Have they started scratching your furniture?
Actually, no. We put enough scratch posts everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, the cat tower where they usually hang out, and that place they usually scratch there. We have one, like, next to our window. They usually scratch there, but there is a chair. You know that there's a chair in the corner of our room in our apartment.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll, like, be running, they'll have, like, the zoomies. They've already started having the zoomies running around the apartment. And, like, sometimes they'll, for some reason, cats, when they have the zoomies, they'll, like, run across the room. They'll jump on a top of, like, in top of our couch or something. And as they're, like, jutting their head around, they'll randomly start scratching, which makes no sense. Like, they're trying to get their claws ready for whatever's next, right?
Yeah.
Like, they literally do this thing where they start jutting their head around, ears are, like, completely, like, shot back.
Yeah, airplane ears.
Airplane ears, because there's two of them, right? So they're usually, like, chasing each other or whatever.
Oh my God.
And then they'll, like, quickly start, like, scratching the top, but it's not enough to where it actually creates, like, any break. And then they'll, like, run down. But they won't.
Yeah.
Whenever they do, like, real scratching, it's usually on the scratch post.
Okay.
Thankfully. Alhamdulillah. Like, that hasn't become a thing yet. But yeah, that was definitely, like, a learning experience in itself. We had to move almost all our plants into another room. There's one plant we had, like, an olive tree branch. Mm-hmm. All the bottom leaves on that one are completely gone.
Oh,
and we just accepted
God.
It at that point. We did move it, but, like, it has, like, a few leaves at the top. And we're like, you know, whatever. Just let them have that one.
It'll grow back.
Yeah, eventually. It wasn't toxic to them, thankfully. So we kind of didn't care about that one as much.
Yeah.
And they're actually, like, really smart, too. You don't realize, like, when it comes to litter, they take to litter almost immediately.
Yeah. That's, like, their nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, but it's crazy, like, how quickly, because at one point we were using my office mm-hmm. as their safe space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was yesterday, we changed that to where we kind of, like, took the litter out of there and made it back into my office.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really care too much about that. I left their places that they sleep just the same. So at least they can get used, they feel safe in that sense. But I moved their litter to a whole different room. all I did was like, you literally just lift them up and you show them, this is where your litter is.
Just let them smell it and you're like, you know where it is now? Okay, cool.
We like moved them. They were like, hey, come here. Like moved it there, and we're like, okay, this is where your litter is. And they're like, okay. And then you see them using it like a few hours later. Like, okay, I guess they get used to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just cool, you know, getting used to cats and like seeing how they live.
Wait, what'd you name them?
Oh yeah, so we named, okay, you're not gonna like these names. Or you're
are
not gonna get
anime
it.
Names?
One of their names is Ezio.
Okay.
Ezio Auditore from Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite characters from the original Assassin's Creed series.
Okay.
Oh, Assassin's Creed 2 technically, but he had a 3-game series, one of my favorite series, so I had to do that. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is named Verso. Verso is from a new game that played recently that like Hanan and I played it together.
Mm-hmm.
So like it has a lot of, you know, maybe it'll build sentimental value over time, maybe even has it right now, but there was like a character in there that we both really liked, and he had gray streaks in his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And Verso, the smaller cat from the two, he actually has like gray tufts behind his ears.
Oh.
And like they both kind of have gray hairs, but he has a little bit more, and his fur is a little bit lighter in some places.
Mm-hmm.
So we named him that because of that. So okay. People are like, oh, you know, why not like a Harry name or something like that? We're like,
like mine, Chico.
Yeah, exactly. So but it could change, you never know, man. You would be like, but right now we call him Etsy. And for Ezio, we call it Etsy. And Verso, we just say Verso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we can't really say anything short
for that.
Those
are cute names, though.
Yeah. So.
I'm coming over, just letting you guys know.
Yeah. You better come over, okay? Come play
with
them.
Yeah, I
gotta
see my
nephews. Exactly. but to the second part.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest thing was that I mentioned I was allergic to cats.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Like, how's your breathing?
Yeah. So. Okay, so a few things that we did to prepare. I don't know if I mentioned this last time. It's like we got an air purifier.
Yeah.
For the room that they were staying in. And I also got Claritin.
Mm-hmm.
So those were like just the two main things I did. Other than that was making like the safe room, the bedroom. But I realized after taking the Claritin, I took the Claritin before we even picked them up on that day. And throughout the whole pickup process, I wasn't feeling anything.
Okay.
And I know I mentioned, I think there was one time where I took it and I felt a little bit of something after maybe a few hours. Nothing. Literally, like, for the 12 hours, and I haven't tested this theory yet of not taking it, but since I started taking it and I've been around them, I felt nothing around them. Like, no allergy symptoms, like, no itchy eyes. Like, I can touch them and touch my face and not feel a thing. So if you're allergic to cats and you want them or you want to be around them, literally Claritin is your friend, or any type of like antihistamine basically is your friend. So or for allergies. And the air purifier actually is like a huge plus, not only for allergies, because like technically I haven't tested theory without the allergies but with the air purifier.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely feel that the air is cleaner. And of course, because their litter was in there, you know, sometimes they take some gnarly-ish.
Dumps.
Yeah, dumps. Like, especially one of them, the big one. The big one takes some big dumps. And when it's fresh, like, you can tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that air purifier, like, it kicks in. It has an auto mode where it like, can sense that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can manually just put it on pet mode so it's, like, on full blast.
Mm-hmm.
And within a few minutes, just like your bathroom air filter, whatever, it, like, takes it all out of the room.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so... It actually, like, even sometimes when we're cooking, because our kitchen is not close to any windows, it's, like, in the middle of the apartment or actually closer to the entrance.
Yeah.
It's very insulated, and sometimes when we're cooking, the smoke comes out. It even captures that, and it, like, it even shows the air quality is low now and starts sucking in all that air, and it clears it out a lot quicker as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it has multiple benefits.
Yeah, all Habesha moms need that.
For real, though. Yeah, just put one right next to them and it will take care of it. So the air purifier has definitely just been a big plus overall, because even just having dander in the air can really make a difference.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that, like, I haven't been sneezing as much.
That's good.
If ever. Like, I sneeze, but, like, I don't sneeze as much as I used to. It's not as aggressive as it used to be.
Yeah.
I just feel like the air is just cleaner overall.
That's good, because I remember when you used to come over and like your eyes would get all red and you just like are immediately stuffed up, and I'm just like, dang.
I don't know why I never took Claritin. I could have taken it and been perfectly fine.
Yeah, you were just raw dogging it. I don't know.
For real though.
Like, you just wanted to suffer.
Yeah, and like even in the morning, I used to like wake up and when I would get to work, almost 80% of the time I'd get to work and I'd feel like stuffed. Mm. Don't feel that anymore. So I feel like it's taking care of other allergies that I might have had that I'm unaware of. That's why I still kind of want to get an allergy test just to see
like what you're allergic to.
Yeah, what I'm allergic to, because I've definitely just felt more clear in the past week or so.
Would you ever do the shot?
Yeah, maybe I would have to like see what the cost breakdown is, like of just buying maybe some bulk Claritin or Benadryl, whatever, over mm-hmm. time versus getting the shot. Because mm-hmm. the shot is like, first off, it's not guaranteed.
Oh.
Yeah, it can fail. And also, it is like a time suck. Like, you're literally going once a week for 6 months.
It's once a week?
Yeah, once a week for 6 months. And then you have to take like follow-up shots every 3 months. And then it turns into 6 months.
That's not horrible.
But once a week is a lot. And if you're traveling,
yeah,
like you have to account for that. They have to change doses. It can prolong the process. So having to deal with all that versus... And I just don't like... I just want to go to the gym. I don't want to waste that. Okay. If something gets in the way of my gym time, I'm highly likely not going to do it.
Okay? The way Amir gets like antsy, it's like a drug. Mm-hmm. You know how drug addicts are like, they're itching. They're like, I need to.
For real though.
That's Amir.
Like me having to go from 5 to 4 days a week, which I did right now, sometimes even 3 days a week, mm-hmm. is already breaking me, like in my spirit. So having to miss a day in that is like, yeah, you may as well just like, end my life.
No, oh my god, dramatic. I'm like, so dramatic.
I was gonna say no, that's too dramatic, and I just said quietly.
I heard you.
But yeah, so allergies, not a problem.
You don't know
with
her
two
anymore.
Cats, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know her anymore. I've actually, life's been better, honestly. So yeah, I'm just ready to go back to them and have fun. It's fun just playing with them. Today they've gone to the, because every day they get more and more trusting.
Yeah,
so today we're recording this like after 5 days or 6 days of having them, mm-hmm. and I was able to like literally just pick one up. I was on the floor with them, just they were just lying down falling asleep, mm-hmm. so they would pick one up and just put him on my lap, and he just sat there and let me pet them and like, you know, use the brush.
All I'm saying is, guys, expect us to have them on our laps eventually.
Oh, okay.
It's probably gonna chew up our headphone cords. For real though, like we'll just hide them. Oh my god, this is literally like freaking,
I know, this cords is like everywhere. Disneyland to them, bro. We got cables all over the floor.
No, you know what we'll do is we'll have our hands full of treats and mm-hmm. just like be like, here, just show.
Oh yeah, they don't like kibbles. At least the one that eats everything will eat kibbles. No
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, fair.
But the one that is very picky mm-hmm. will like not even look at dry food. But whenever we have the little tubes,
yes,
that stuff, like it's one of crack. Them will go, yeah, almost like it is cracked to it, because it will be chewing, it will be eating it to the speed that like if you're not pushing out fast enough, it will start chewing the actual plastic. And there's actually one night where I think it was the first night that we let them out, we forgot that we left the packaging out once. Like it was empty. We left the packaging out and I wake up to like the pieces everywhere.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
I don't miss that. Mm. I don't miss when Chiku would like shred papers, yeah, toilet paper mm-hmm. towel, like I don't miss that part.
Yeah,
that
they've was definitely my been favorite thing. They love shredding like just objects that leave. Oh yeah, actually there's one thing today that happened where, yeah, Hanan really didn't like me getting oil all over the pillows, so she got me a do-rag. And I never worn a do-rag in my life. Yeah.
Did you wear them down to your eyebrows? Huh? Like, did you wear it properly?
Oh, no. I'm still getting used to wearing them, right? For me, it's really just to cover my head in my sleep so it doesn't get on the pillow.
Fair.
But I left it on the table before I left for work this morning. And they didn't rip it apart, but they, like, left holes in it. Like, they definitely tried to bite it.
Oh, my God.
So they bite. Their way of, like, testing something new is biting it.
Yeah.
And you'll see them every once in a while. They'll just see them just chilling. And they'll start biting whatever they're next to them, whether it be the table or
the door stopper.
Yeah.
You know what used to like, okay, you have
I know this one because I was there when she would do it.
What literally used to just like, my cat knew that this pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I only had one cat. Well, mm-hmm. for the most part. Okay. But she would sleep in my room or mm-hmm. Sebri's room.
Yeah.
And the only way, because normally when cats wake you up, mm-hmm. they usually like put, they're very cute. Like they'll put their paw on your face. They'll kind of like just like lightly scratch mm-hmm. you. But if I was ignoring her or like pushing her off, you know what she would do? She'd go to my hair.
Oh.
And like pull it out of a bun and just start like chewing. And I could hear her like.
I thought you were going to say, okay, keep going.
What did you think I was going
to
say?
No, I remember she used to play with the door stopper and like hit
it. Oh, yes, that yeah. too, that too.
Okay.
But this was like, she would literally eat my hair mm-hmm. and it would, like I had short pieces of hair for so long because she would just eat it all the time and it would piss me off and yeah. she knew that was the only way she'd get me out of my bed.
Mm-hmm. Would she actually like be pulling out hair?
Yes, with her nails, just pull it out and just chew away. And sometimes if I'm like in deep sleep,
yeah.
she'll get it from my like the back of my head
yeah.
because she'll be on my pillow, right?
Yeah.
So just keep them out of your
That's
room.
That's also a big reason why we're keeping them out of the room. But yeah. like I said, cats like exploring. They will try their hardest to get into a place that you know yes, they don't want you in.
1,000%.
Like, they will literally stalk you. They will sit next. They will try and find out how to get into that room without needing you to let them in.
Eventually, though, they'll yeah. have no shame. And, like, there will come a time where mm-hmm. they'll just start howling. Like, Chiku mm-hmm. would literally sit, you know where the stairs are? And yeah. it echoes because it's empty.
Yeah.
It would be like 3 a.m. and she's screaming mm-hmm. at the top of her lungs.
But I feel like that's because she was in heat too.
That too. But then the minute you open the door, the yeah. way her voice just changes to like a cute little meow.
She's like, meow, meow.
Yeah. And I'm just like, what the hell do you want? She just runs and jumps on my bed and I'm like, oh my mm-hmm. God, this cat.
Yeah. So we don't want them to get even, we don't want them even to know what that room looks like. Like they definitely, the first thing, that's the thing. They know what they're doing. Like these cats, they act dumb sometimes, but they're smart.
They're gonna run your life, just know that.
The first thing they do, they run into the room and they go under the bed.
Yeah,
because they know
you can't get
like
them.
We have stuff under the bed. We have those like shelves things that go under the bed, but they find out how to like get in between them and they just sit there. There's one time where I stepped out of the room and I guess they found out that you can push doors. They finally discovered that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I would like, I left the door closed but it wasn't locked, and as I was walking around I was like, something's awfully quiet. So I go to look at our room door and I see it ajar, like a slightly open. I'm like, they're definitely in there. So I walk into the room. I don't see them initially. I'm like, I look under the bed. Both of them are there just staring at me.
Glowing eyes.
Yeah, you see glowing eyes. But I am smarter. All I did, because you know
what? The treats out.
Not only, I didn't bring the treats out, but I went to the kitchen and cats have very nice, very, good ears?
Yeah, strong good, hearing.
Strong hearing. They have strong hearing. So I went to the room, the kitchen. I picked up their plates.
Mm.
I started smacking them. And then I took the food cans that we use and I started hitting against it. I didn't open it. Mm. Started hitting against it. Immediately, they come out.
Yep.
But but at that point, I was like, it was like a stalemate. You're like, okay, if I go to the room too quickly, they're going to know what I'm doing and they're going to run to the room, right?
Yep.
So I'm like playing. You're literally, you turn to like a mastermind when you're dealing with cats, right? So my plan was, because I know that they follow me and they're going to follow me when I go there. So I walked first to my office room mm-hmm. and usually they'll walk ahead of me.
Yeah.
So they walked ahead of me, went into the office room and it has like a slit that I kind of walked through. I like closed that very quickly and then I went to my room and locked the door. And they looked at me with disgust in their eyes. You could tell.
They knew.
Yeah, they're like, you got us this time.
Just know this is mm-hmm. now their mission.
This is
their life goal.
It is.
And they will outsmart you.
They will. Yeah. And oh, yeah. And last thing too, if you're ever going to get a cat, just get used to picking up, throw up. At least for the first couple days.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah,
they don't do it anymore. But for the first couple days, they definitely.
Was it because of the plants that they ate?
I don't know. It was more like watery, if anything. So. Like, it happened only for the first couple of days, but they say it happens because they're nervous. Like, it's their first couple of days. Yeah, so they just did it for, like, literally the first two nights, and then it was done after that.
No, they'll get hairballs. That's normal.
Yeah, they definitely will.
And that's nasty.
Yeah, I'm used to it now.
And so. I don't know if your mm-hmm. cats are like like mine was, but she would throw up and then smell it and then go to lick it. And I'm like, don't you dare! Mm-mm. It's like a race. As soon as you hear the heaving, you have to run.
Ugh.
Because you don't want it to get on the carpet or
the
couch.
I know.
Because they just be throwing up anywhere.
I know.
They don't care.
We're definitely going to get some carpet cleaner. Thankfully, at this point, they've only chosen the hardwood floor.
Oh, good. Then you're so like, not that it's a good thing they're throwing up. But
I know. But at least they know, what to avoid.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So that's the update on being a father.
You got to insert, you got to make sure you insert a picture so that everyone can see what they look like. Oh,
yeah,
I'll put some
up. Yeah, and maybe some of the stuff they destroyed as well.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I know Hanan's just like, man, I don't know if we made a good decision.
She's loving it. Yeah.
She doesn't mind the chewed up cords because I would crash out.
Because I've turned to electric. I already do a lot of electrical work anyway. So like, I've learned to fix like the audio cables. I could just like tie those together. I was able to fix those.
Yeah.
I just had to buy like the one that's more, has like, it's more of a fiber cable, so it's harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was able to kind of replace the other things pretty easily. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, it comes with its negatives, but the positives are definitely outweighing those right now. Okay, Sara, what we got next on the docket here? Oh my
are
God.
They? Yeah, my legs are kind of hurting a little bit. Not that I'm in pain, like Amir. They're just...
Are you sure about that?
You know, when you cross your legs for too long.
Okay.
I just need some circulation, that's all.
I'm just saying, that's not something you had to do in your early 20s.
No, that was always what I had to do.
Oh, really? No, okay, we'll see about that.
Anyways, are they still making... Are they making bad movies on purpose?
This is just a random question I had because...
Okay.
As everyone who's internet brained or like just Stop. Constantly on the net knows, there's a movie that came out recently.
Mm-hmm.
By Amazon called War of the Worlds, which is like a remake. It's not really a remake, sorry. It's like a sequel with the same name as two movies that came out, like one in the early 2000s, one in like the 80s or whatever. But it stars Ice Cube, and you know, the gimmick of this movie is that it all takes place in front of a computer screen. You're basically looking at a computer screen. Did you hear about this?
No, I think I saw a TikTok about it.
Really?
But
how
like,
have you not seen this yet?
I don't know, because I was fully on Amazon, like mm-hmm. Prime Video.
Yeah.
But maybe I saw like the poster mm-hmm. or whatever for it, but I didn't actually watch it or watch the trailer.
Well,
should I watch the trailer real quick?
You can watch the trailer right now, yeah.
I just want to see like...
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if the trailer will give away how bad it is.
Should I just look up the trailer on TikTok? Or on Prime itself?
On Prime.
Okay.
But as she's looking that up, so this is one of those movies that like will go down in history as like being so bad that it almost becomes a cult classic for how bad it is.
What?
Because this movie, it was filmed at the beginning of COVID in like 2020. I don't know why it's coming out now. It stars Ice Cube, but it's almost like he's reading a script for the first time as he's like going through it, and it's almost like he doesn't know who he's reacting to. It's basically like someone like he's told, okay, just say these lines here,
yeah,
into the camera, and then we'll figure out a way to put it together, because he's just for the whole movie most of his lines are just going, oh no, oh, or like making faces like a mad face or a confused face. Wait. Or surprised face. Like there's a point in the movie where he thought his son had like passed away or had been unalived.
Yeah.
And his reaction was literally just to put his head down and put his hand over his face and go, oh.
Wait, hold on. Let me watch this.
Not even like a crying, like you literally just lost your son. And he was reacting like his favorite team just lost their game.
Hold on. Let me watch the trailer.
Okay. Watch the trailer.
That's it?
That's the trailer. I know,
this
right?
This doesn't tell me anything.
It tells you there's an alien invasion, I guess, but...
Yeah, robot like, or whatever that's supposed to be.
Like, it's literally just a series of Teams and, like, WhatsApp and whatever other calling service, like, all of those together. And the thing is, the reason that the question I said was, like, are they making bad movies on purpose is because, first off, this had, like, a lot of other big-name actors on there as well. But you could see whoever... put this out, they had to have known this was just a horrible movie. No one would have seen this movie who of the right mind and said, oh, this is something that's worthy of putting out. And the fact that they filmed it in 2020 and only put it out now makes me think that they just put it out because they knew that it would create some type of buzz. And you know how they say like no publicity, I mean
bad publicity.
No, what's the line again? It's
all publicity.
Oh yeah, all publicity. No,
I don't remember what's the saying. All publicity is good publicity. It was Eazy-E who actually said it.
What is it?
Bad publicity is good publicity.
Ironically enough, Easy who said that. Bad publicity is good publicity. Another member of the NWA crew there. But yeah, so like I feel like they put this out knowing that all it would do was bring a lot of eyes to, even if it's bad, it would bring a lot of eyes to Amazon's Prime Video, whatever. It would get people to sign up just to see how bad this movie is. And like there's a whole market that can advertise the movie for them, even though they're making fun of it for it. Because I can't tell you how many videos I saw of people just reacting to the movie and like making commentary videos on it, or like video essays on like how bad this movie is, right? And all those views really just put more eyes on the movie itself. And some people are like, oh, it can't be that bad. I literally saw a video of a guy making a video because he saw other people making videos on this movie saying it's not that bad, and he himself was like, it can't be that bad, and watched the movie and made a video.
You know what? Like, it, I'm not gonna lie, just what? That trailer, it felt like an ad for Microsoft Teams, because the sound of the call was triggering me too. it's really triggering, but
yeah,
I feel like it's too late to like put out movies about COVID time. Like, it's too soon. Not too soon. Like,
no, it's not about COVID times. They just had to film it that way because no one could meet in person.
I know,
but it had no part in like why everybody was on camera.
Like, it wasn't like one of those lockdown related movies.
No. It was just that he was like trapped in that room. Like, he never leaves that room. He literally gets up once to like, I think, get coffee or something. That was it. So
that's a weird con. I don't think I'm going to watch that.
But there are a lot of people who are going to watch it because of this, I guess you could say, controversy, or because of that whole like, it can't really be that bad. Mm. Or people just like movies that are so bad because it's so bad that it's essentially now become a comedy to a lot of people. Entertaining purely just out of how bad it is.
I'm sure us even talking about it is gonna get
That's the thing. They got us right here, you know, talking about it. You didn't even know about it until I told you about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how it's kind of spreading. But you yourself said you might not watch it, but I'm sure there's hundreds of people out there who will hear this and be like, it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Right? And then just go out and check it out. But
you might.
It's just like, and it seems like people are doing, because there are other movies that came out, like there was a Snow White movie that recently came out.
I did not know that.
You see, you didn't know about that.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of controversy around that movie.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because first off, Gal Gadot plays like the witch, right? And then the person who played Snow White was making a lot of like statements that were peeing off all the like far right people or all the conservative people, because she was trying to say how this Snow White is going to be different. She doesn't need to be saved by no man. Like, she's independent.
Oh, didn't we talk about this?
I think we might have talked about this at some point. Yeah,
I remember that.
Exactly. So there was that controversy, and she was also pro-Palestine. So you have two people on opposing sides as main characters in a movie, right? So there's so much controversy. And then on top of that, there's a dwarf controversy where initially it came out that they weren't going to actually include seven dwarves. They were just going to have seven people who would help Snow White. Like, they wouldn't be dwarves at all. And
why? Because it tried to be PC.
Yeah, exactly. And then because of the backlash from that, they ended up completely cutting that whole part of the movie out and then adding CG dwarves to it. I know. And then people were like, this also doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
And the dwarf community was angry because they're like, you're taking our jobs. There was so much.
You're taking our jobs. Like, literally. That's the only job they could do. That's crazy.
But it is a thing. And they're all like mad at Peter Dinklage because he was saying this is.
Who the hell is that?
Because he's the one who came out with the. Being mad about the whole fact that they're using dwarves in the movie, because he's like, they're exploiting us. But then all the people who are dwarves in the movie industry are like, they're not exploiting us, these are jobs that we actually need. There's a lot.
He's like the famous one.
Yeah. Okay. He's also, Peter Dinklage is also a dwarf. Is that the right word I'm using?
It's little person.
Little person, sorry. Replace all those words with little person. But that movie was covered in so much controversy to the point where they're like, we don't even want to put this out, because like, it wasn't getting a lot of good reviews to begin with, but they still put it out. And I think that like they put it out knowing that controversy actually put more eyes on it. Like, if it just came out that there was, like, a Snow White movie, I feel like it wouldn't have gotten maybe as much attention. But because of all these things coming out, I feel like it's all purposely done these days by these movie companies or producers, because they know that it will just get them more eyes on their projects.
Maybe, but, like, the goal is obviously to have, like, a box office hit and get the most amount of views as possible. So, like, while I get that bad publicity is still good publicity, I think you're going to want to have, like, a lot of buzz around your movie. Like, good buzz, not people saying, like, oh, this is going to be bad or whatever.
I think for the long-term benefit, it does make sense to have more good buzz. A lot of these companies now are kind of just looking for that quick hit.
Yeah.
They're like, let's just, you know, cash in right now. They don't really think about the long-term consequences.
True.
And sometimes people are just forgetful, you know? They'll have this one controversy that will, whether it maybe it doesn't even, like, result in a success for this movie, but it might allow them to start pushing out other movies from that same studio to give more light to them, or, like, they can kind of be like, oh, here's the antidote to what this... They're basically putting out both the sickness and the cure. So, like, let's put out these bad movies, create all this controversy, and then start putting out these, like, good movies to point at something that will push more people out, because it'd be like, oh, we want to support these movies. I feel like there might be, like, they're playing, like, some 3D chess here.
Yeah.
Mind games with people.
Yeah.
Because there's really only, like, two or three or maybe four major studios that are kind of controlling all of Hollywood specifically.
That's true.
So, and they've come out with good movies. They know what good movies are. But the fact that they're coming out with bad movies makes me think that a lot of times they're doing it deliberately, knowing that they're bad.
Yeah, but, like, is it worth the money that they're putting into making these films?
I'm sure there's, like, some...
There has to be some kind of return.
Yeah, there's some return somewhere that we don't know about.
Maybe it's, like, a money laundering.
It could be a money laundering thing, too.
Cue the X-Files song.
Hey, especially if Gal Gadot is involved in a project, I don't see how, like, maybe she could have just gotten that money. Like, this is a way of just getting her more roles in the industry so that she can continue to have some type of pull in the industry, or some name, or some her name is still out there and, like, talked about. Because after that movie, like, what are you hearing from her right now?
Yeah,
right. She's not really making any waves. People are starting to make fun of her. They've kind of, it's like, people have, now that she's taking the mask off, people are kind of seeing her for who she really is, which is a bad actor and not really a good person at that. So
I just remember her, like, there was a lot of buzz around her when she played Wonder Woman, I think it was. Was it Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't remember hearing her name after that.
Yeah, because they said that, like, her first Wonder Woman movie was actually good.
Okay.
The second one, completely disgusting. Like, really bad.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
And then people started going back, and they realized that, like, the only thing that made the movie good, like, it wasn't her acting. It was just, like, the story and the people that surrounded her. But her as an actor herself was not exactly good. Like, the action scenes were okay, but when it came to her actually acting, especially when she had to act against other people who were actually good at it, you could see how horrible she actually was how really, at the end of the day, she's just an industry plant. And there are industry plants all over.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The movie industry, unfortunately, they've, like, infiltrated Marvel, and Marvel's, like, at this point, I'm almost completely jumping ship on Marvel. Yeah, like,
you?
I'm kind of done with it. I'm kind of shifting over to DC at this point.
What?
DC has me more excited than Marvel does.
Guys.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, Amir was like, Marvel till the day I die forced me to watch so many movies.
Well, it's also because, like, their timelines are like, oh, you know, we're going to work up to this thing in 2032. It's like, bro, I'm going to have kids. You know, I'm going to start I'm probably going to be going out for, like, Frozen 6 at that point. I don't have time for Marvel at that time. You know, I want the movies now. And DC has just started its new universe. So I feel like there's a lot of potential there. And, you know, the director is someone who definitely doesn't give, like, the Zionist vibes, if that makes sense. Right? So, when comparing it to, like, the people in Marvel who are, like, actively putting Zio characters in their movies, like the whole American Captain America movie that came out, where they literally had, like, Captain Sabra, or like, I forget what her name, Sabra something, in there, who was an agent doing Krav Maga, whatever. It was disappointing. But yeah. I don't know if I could say that word in here. You know, I have to. Last week, for the last episode, I actually had to like cut out. I think I missed one, but I tried to cut out all the parts we said, like, that is not real, and the orange dude's name. I did for most of them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've heard they've been checking our phones at the border, so you got to start, you know, being a little. And, like, before it was kind of like a joke, like, oh, you know, maybe they might. But now I've heard it's, like, actually been more active, so.
Like actually looking?
Yeah, like, they're being more aggressive with it.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. So that was a question I had posed, and let us know. Let us know in the comments if that's what she feels about. No, I just burped. I did like a hiccup burp. It was whatever.
Oh, gosh.
What else we got on Dakisara?
The Love Island reunion happened last week.
Oh, yeah.
And Amir now watched it.
I didn't watch it exactly.
Listen to it.
I listened to it because it was playing as I was literally editing the podcast. It was playing in the other room.
Yeah.
And I was kind of just listening to what was going on. Mm-hmm. So the funny thing is that, like, my relation to Love Island right now is like I know most of the characters and I know most of the relationships for the most part, kind of, except for like the side characters.
And the Casa Amor people.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about.
I don't even know what Casa Amor means. I just know side characters. And I kind of, like, I know a little bit about everything, but I don't have context for a lot of things.
I'll give you context.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I could get that was like kind of the two controversies in my mind was that I felt like one of the guys, I think his name was Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was getting gaslit a lot. Hanan completely disagreed with me, or not completely disagreed, but she disagreed with like the definition I was using for what was happening. Because just to give you all context, like, there was a guy, Jeremiah, who was accused of love bombing another girl named Huda. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm getting that right. He was accused of love bombing her. But at one point in their relationship in the house, he went up to her and specifically said, "Am I doing too much?" And she said, "Nah, you're good." So then he's like, "Okay, we'll continue at the pace that we're currently at." And then at this reunion, when he was accused by another guy, Ace,
I'm really impressed with your memory right now.
Because this literally, I got a lot of clips related to it too, right? So Ace accused him of love bombing. And then when Jeremiah asked Huda, like, "Hey, with all the context that we have and me asking all that, do you think I was love bombing?" She's like, "Yeah, I think you were love bombing." So she turned face on him after already confirming that he told her that, like, you know, "If I'm going too fast, let me know." So I feel like he was getting gaslit into thinking like he was love bombing when really he wasn't, or at least he was told he wasn't initially. And I feel like you don't agree with me right now, too, just looking at your face.
I didn't say anything yet.
Okay. And also, I'm clocking it, okay?
Actually, this finger, okay? Middle finger.
And the other controversy. You know what? Let's cover that first, okay?
Okay.
Because, like, Jeremiah literally came with the definitions.
That's
he
crazy.
He pulled out the full definition of what love bombing is and proved, at least in my eyes, from what I could, or from my ears, what I could hear, and from the TikToks I've seen, that he, in fact, was trying not to love bomb, actively was trying to work in the relationship to make sure that he wasn't doing that.
Okay. Let me give you context.
Give me context. Because remember, I don't have all the context.
And that's so totally fair. That's
okay,
totally fair.
Let me know.
So I understand why you got to that conclusion based on what you heard.
Yeah.
However, the premise of the show Love Island is that they have a bunch of single people. Mm-hmm. They come in on the first week. And the whole point of the show is that you're supposed to talk to a bunch of people and then determine who your strongest connection is. And then you pair up with them. Huda and Jeremiah, like, instantly connected on day one. Mm-hmm. And basically, they never explicitly said we're closed off to each other.
Yeah.
But they acted that way.
Okay.
And so,
takes two to tango, by the way, just saying.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she was very possessive of him and he was very possessive of her. The thing is that, was he love bombing her per se? Like, I don't know. I think it was just they both, like I imagine that your feelings are probably mm-hmm. heightened a lot in that scenario because you're spending 6 weeks with the same people in the same house, whatever, you know what I mean? So I don't know if it's like at one point he did say like I just liked you a lot mm-hmm. and vice versa.
Yeah,
some people say that he love bombed her because of how he was treating her. I don't know. I've been love bombed before and it's not it's not the same. I think he probably did like her a lot and she liked him a lot, which is why she became Crash Out Huda or Hurricane Huda mm-hmm. as they called her.
Yeah.
Because every little thing was triggering her.
So she was love bombing.
Not necessarily.
Well, okay.
What it was yeah. she really struggled with communicating her needs to him. Mm-hmm. So she would want him to do more and he felt like he was doing a lot already. Mm-hmm. So he's like, is this not enough? But then when he was doing too much, it would kind of like, you know, she'd be like, whoa. So it was like, it was very confusing and they got toxic very fast.
Yeah.
And the reason why Ace called him out is because Ace, so here's the controversial mm-hmm. part. Ace matched up with Shelly. Mm-hmm. They actually met outside of the show like a year ago mm-hmm. in New York.
Oh, did they?
They met and then they followed each other on Instagram okay. and like kind of exchanged like a couple like interactions mm-hmm. but never like full on hung out or talked yeah. like in depth. So when they saw each other on the show, they're like, oh, what are you doing mm-hmm. here type of thing, you know? So when he saw Shelly, he was instantly like, I want to go for her. Mm-hmm. But I think he matched with her the first week, like he picked her. I don't remember what the terminology is.
Yeah.
They get together the first week and then he is trying to play the game mm-hmm. correctly. So he goes for a different girl, Amaya.
Yeah.
As soon as he matches up with her, he instantly like distances himself from her.
Yeah. Okay. I saw that.
When I
was in those random episodes that I would like sit with Hanan or whatever.
Yeah.
I think I saw that where like, they got into a fight and
yeah, because she so
he's like, don't call me babe.
Yes, because mm-hmm. for her, like that's how she speaks. Some people like, and I've seen it before. Yeah. It usually happens with like people in retail. They're like, hey, hun, like over here.
Yeah,
and that's normal for them. And that mm-hmm. that was the way that she spoke. And he was like, no.
Yeah,
no.
I understood that. I don't know how they didn't, but whatever. Yeah.
So he like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He kind of got at her, and then when he came back to Shelly, mm-hmm. it was like tunnel vision. But mm-hmm. it's like, so my problem was like Ace calling him out. It's like, you did the same thing. You matched up with Shelly 1 week Amaya 1 week probably to prove the point that you're playing the game yeah. or doing Love Island how it's supposed to mm-hmm. be. But we all know Ace had eyes for Shelly the entire yeah. time. He just didn't like that Jeremiah was like openly pursuing one person mm-hmm. the whole time.
But being a normal person.
Being a normal person. Yeah, yeah. Like that's how you would normally date in the outside world. Like maybe some people would talk mm-hmm. to multiple people. I don't know. But then there was a week where America gets to vote. Like, so a bombshell came in, mm-hmm. Iris. America voted that Jeremiah now matches up with her. Mm-hmm. And that was probably like supposed to be like a test for him. To see, like, is what you have with Huda really real
yeah.
or not? And so when that happened, it was, like, reality TV gold. Because the way that, like, I don't know if you saw the clip where it's behind the doors. And Jeremiah matches up with her instead of Huda. And then Huda, like, drops and, like, silently cries.
I think I saw that. I had, like I said, no context. I didn't know what was going on.
Honestly, I think that clip is mm-hmm. what got me to be like, fine, I'll watch it.
Yeah, because I think that was one of the first clips I saw as well. And there, yeah. that was when people were saying that she was a crash out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For and, that, I don't know.
Not for that specific scene.
But it was used in that sense. I don't know why.
Because I think it was like that night, mm-hmm. she like kind of cussed him out. And like, you know, she was very upset.
But it wasn't his fault. He didn't have a choice in it, did he?
He did. So he got paired up the first time. And then the following week, yeah. He mm-hmm. ended up picking Iris. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Jeremiah love bombed her. I think that they both just like their emotions were heightened. They liked each other a lot and kind of went like too fast too soon mm-hmm. for the premise of the show.
So you agree with me that they were gaslighting him then?
Yeah, they were. And it was kind of hypocritical of Ace yeah. to even say that, to be very honest with
you. I really don't like that Ace guy.
Well, did you see that he did a podcast yeah, interview with Speedy? Scooter.
Or Speedy, yeah.
Scooter.
Speedy. I don't know. I said Scooter. Okay, Speedy. Yeah, I saw it. I didn't see the podcast, but I saw that he did it. Like, I didn't watch it, but I saw that he did it. Yeah.
I listened to most of it. Mm-hmm. And okay, so here's the thing. Mm-hmm. When all of the people got off of Love Island, when they stopped filming, mm-hmm. a lot of them immediately started doing podcasts.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they all have an NDA. Mm-hmm. Like they all sign a non-disclosure agreement, and that really limits what you can talk about. Mm-hmm. Right. And so for them to immediately go and do these podcasts knowing that they can't. Capitalizing,
man. That's really what all of them are going in there for, right?
That and true, mm-hmm. but like they're limited in what they could say. You know what I mean? And so Ace and Shelly were actually, Shelly did interviews too, but Ace was the only one that didn't do any interviews because he wanted to like leave it all for the reunion, mm-hmm. which was filmed like 2 months after.
Yeah. But he already had a following at that point. So for him, it didn't really matter.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't even that. I think it was like a lot of times that they do these interviews, it's also to like speak their truth, mm-hmm. you know? And so he built up all this hype around like, I'm going to like stand on business at the reunion. When really I'm like, all you did was like gaslight. You didn't take any accountability because
he pulled up. My name is Jeff.
Basically, got nervous. Like, it wasn't even nerves. I think he was so angry and triggered the whole time. But he obviously you're on like you can't. There's things you can and cannot say, right? Like when you're on when you're recording a reunion special, because he doesn't want to look like a crash out either. Yeah. So I think that's why he got so upset, because he had to try and control and regulate his emotions while.
It didn't look like that when he was talking.
If you watch the show, you could see like his nostrils are flaring and like he's just, I don't know.
It's very different when you hear it versus when you watch it, I guess.
Yeah. And I used to like him on the show at first. Like I was rooting for him and Shelly. I felt like what they had was genuine, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But just seeing how he's handled himself outside of the show is a little disappointing, until I remembered he's only like 22 or 23.
Yeah. A lot of them are young.
Like, he's the youngest.
Oh, yeah.
Shelly's 27.
Damn.
Yeah, okay. I think now 28 or something. But, like, just, like, seeing how he's been handling himself, I'm like, oh, it's because his frontal lobe isn't fully developed. That's why he's like that.
Yeah.
He is mature in some aspects, but it's just his, like, his view on life. And then back to your original question on, like, why did Hoda, like, on the show, she's like, no, you're not doing too much. But then on the reunion, she said that he was love bombing her. I think for her, her perception probably changed, because imagine she's on the show, she sees it one, she's experiencing it one way, leaves, and then sees all these edits and stuff online and the discourse online, because she's chronically online too.
Yeah.
And that probably might have changed her perception.
I can see that.
She's also young too.
It does seem like she still like threw someone under the bus to make him look worse than it really was. Like, you know, without taking, and that was a big thing that people were saying. And from the little context that I have, is that maybe I'm wrong, but she seems like someone who doesn't take responsibility a lot of times for her own actions.
Yes and no.
Like, well, she acts like she's taking responsibility, but it's like that person who says sorry but doesn't really mean it.
I think, like, okay. I genuinely, I feel bad for her, and I wish that she would have, they would have done like a psych eval on her or something before putting her in there, because she doesn't seem like a bad person to her core. She just is young and like naive to a sense.
I have heard that she has like a very like bad past, or like
a
very
traumatizing
past. Yeah.
Yeah. And she does touch on it a little bit on the Call Her Daddy podcast. But I just think, like, I feel bad for her. Like, Miss Keen, you know? Like, you just need an older sister. She has two older sisters. But, like, she needed some guidance. And I think with intensive therapy, she could absolutely get there. Like, she has that in her to be accountable. I think she just, like, went about it in the wrong way, you know?
Yeah. I can see that.
And what was interesting was the fact that Andy Cohen was a co-host, which I don't even know why. He wasn't on Love Island. He's not part of that franchise. And he's obviously like an open Zionist.
Is he?
Yeah, he's openly.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that today. We had like, or was it yesterday?
And like,
I can't remember.
There were just like things that he did and said that like kind of made me side eye him. Like when he was introducing Hoda, he's like single mom Hoda, and I'm like what? Why? Like he didn't refer to anyone else by like their family situation or whatever.
But that was a big part of the season, no? Where like the reveal,
like it was one part, but it wasn't. If anything, I wouldn't have been surprised if he called her like Hurricane Hoda. Mm-hmm. That's what she was mostly known. Like, yeah, the mom thing was like, it had its moment.
Yeah.
But like, it was just weird to introduce her like that. Mm-hmm. And then when she was saying that she like, you know, reflected in the past month, he's like, oh, really? Like you did some self-reflection and now you feel like you're a different person after 1 month. Like, mm-hmm. it was like throwing shade.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know. I wasn't a fan. I didn't think, while he had some good questions and he really pressed them to answer mm-hmm. it, I feel like there are so many other like qualified hosts that could have done the same.
I was actually on, to be truthful, like I was more on those people's side being like, how much can you really change in a month? Like people are saying that she seemed very media trained now. Like she's trying to start a career when they're asking about her. Like I think someone was asking her about relationships. Oh, her relationship? I can't talk about that because yeah. she has like a Netflix thing or.
No. I don't know why people spun that out of control or just couldn't understand mm-hmm. the concept. So the guy that she's currently dating mm-hmm. is also on a Netflix show that mm-hmm. was set to air. So they filmed this a little bit earlier than the 25th. I think it was like August 12th or something.
Yeah.
The guy that she's dating, his show is premiering or still running on August 18th. So it was like a couple
days. He's on a dating show as well?
Yeah, like they filmed it before, but it was premiering on Netflix like afterwards. You know what I mean? Oh. So she was on Love Island.
Oh, so a giveaway that like she's dating with someone who's on a show, so knows that he didn't get a partner or whatever.
Exactly. So that's why like he has an NDA, mm-hmm. but because she's now dating him, it's like she doesn't want to get sued by Netflix.
Yeah.
So that's
a chance that she meets someone else who's on a dating show.
I mean, they're all kind of interconnected, to be honest with you. But yeah, so like that's why she's like, I don't want to talk about it because it's from Netflix. Anyways,
it's interesting how the internet can twist things. Okay,
they now have a Netflix like put out a billboard in support of her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you know what? My opinions has changed then. Okay, my opinions can't change on people. Actually, it's not 100% change because
and that's on growth. Oh, never mind.
We'll see. We'll see how much she grows, you know, and I don't know like where we're gonna see that, but actually they're gonna have like a reunion or something, like an actual show where they follow up with these people. I heard that they're having like a show that has characters from different seasons of Love Island come together.
Oh, Love Island Games. I've never watched that before, but I don't even know what that's about, to be honest with you. But what do you think about, okay, here's one of the controversial questions. Mm-hmm. So there were two black girls on the show.
That was the next thing I was going to talk about.
Shelly and Olandria. Mm-hmm. Okay, after the show ended, Huda, it was very obvious that she's the most popular one out of all of the people on the show.
Yeah.
And she's Palestinian. Mm-hmm. And so her fans are like diehard fans.
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, Shelly and Olandria, or Olandria specifically, got emotional on the show. And she's like, you know, you said that you were going to make a post to talk about like telling your fans to stop bullying us, and then said that someone edited her face on George Floyd's body, yeah, which is like crazy. That's actually insane.
Yeah.
And I was doing research on that because I'm like, that's so crazy. Like, why would they do that? Only to figure out it was one of Shelly's fans that did that. Shelly and Olandria are supposed to be best friends on the show. And one of her crazy fans decided to Photoshop Olandria's face on his body, allegedly. That's what that's what the people are discovering. But did you feel like Olandria was justified in her kind of like expecting Huda to speak out and tell her fans like, hey, stop being racist and bullying the two girls, even though they're all not friends?
Why did she want Huda to say sorry specifically?
Because their perception was that it was Huda's fans that were being racist towards Shelly.
Why was it their perception that? Did Huda say anything towards Olandria? Weren't they not friends?
They were on the show.
Yeah.
But then after the show, like there was one of the challenges where Shelly ends up fighting with Huda, like blames her for it.
Yeah.
And so they stopped being friends.
Yeah.
Olandria, again, because she's closer to Shelly, kind of distanced herself. But after Shelly left, they're all friends, right? So Olandria and Huda were like kind of pretty close. After the show, though, they separated after Huda did the Call Her Daddy podcast, because they felt like Huda said her own experience and said that she felt isolated and bullied on the show. And I guess her fans assumed that she was getting bullied and isolated by Shelly and Olandria. And so there was this narrative that Shelly, Olandria, and another person named Sierra, who was kicked off the show, were the mean girls of the season.
Yeah, because I did hear a little bit about this, and I think like they said, the way it works is that like Olandra said that she said sorry for her fans who were being racist towards Hoda, but Hoda did not do the same.
No. So, mm-hmm. Shelly, I don't know if Olandra did it too, but I know Shelly, I think Shelly did put out a post, mm-hmm. A story post saying like, you know, no bullying and whatever in general. Mm-hmm. And I think the girl spoke with Hoda and she said she was going to make a post about like, mm-hmm. stop being racist and didn't end up doing it. Mm-hmm. And so Ace is like, he came in defense of the girls and basically said like, and this was on his podcast interview with Speedy. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, I saw a stream where Hoda was on a live stream and, you know, people perceived that she kicked these girls out of the room, mm-hmm. and it became this huge problem, like this drama. And she immediately made a post saying like, this is not what happened, mm-hmm. da, 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 and cleared her name.
So he's like, why can't you make a post about
exactly,
that?
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. But my thing is like, Hoda was also getting a lot of racist comments too. Remember, she's Palestinian, mm-hmm. so you can only imagine the things that were being said to her.
Yeah.
So there was never like, no one came in defense of her. And when she did the Call Her Daddy podcast, that was like a couple days after the show stopped filming, mm-hmm. and she actually said like, I don't condone bullying, I don't condone racism. Like, she spoke out about it on that podcast. She mm-hmm. just didn't make a post about it.
But she said she was going to make a post about it, but never did it.
That's what they're saying. Like, she said she was going to make a post and she never did. Like, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you defend us? I thought we were friends.
That one's more of a gray area. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, she's probably wrong if she said that she was going to make a post about it. But if she said it on a podcast, then it's like, okay, she said it there at least. But then, like, are you really responsible for your fans?
That's what I'm saying. Is she? Or do you feel like they're all responsible for keeping their fans in check?
I feel like people do have a responsibility to a certain degree if they feel like their fans are doing something that they personally would not agree with. Because I feel like, yeah, everybody... I'm one of those people who feel like all influencers out there have a responsibility for the culture that they create and accept. So yeah. If they notice that the people who are following them are doing things that they themselves would not accept, mm-hmm. and they don't make a statement about it, then I would look at you differently and be like, okay, so if you see this happening, why aren't you saying anything about it? Even if she didn't say it towards Olandra specifically, if she said generally, because you said that she was getting racist comments too, right? Mm-hmm. So she could have included herself in that while including Olandra, being like, I don't accept any racism at all. Like, this is not how we should be acting on the internet. And right. How we should be treating each other, right?
Yeah.
So if she did something like that, that would make sense. But to not say anything at all, I don't think saying that I'm getting it as well is enough in those cases. I feel like there is a responsibility for that person to kind of say something.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, going off of the fact that, like, if she did actually say, like, hey, I will make a post about it, and knows that it's happening. But maybe she didn't know it was happening to that degree. That's why I'm saying it's a gray area. There's so many ways you can come at this.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Okay. But personally, I'd be like, okay, you know, you should have said something, but...
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking anymore, so... I saw that she did cry about it, and I felt like that was too much.
Who, Olandra, right?
Yeah.
I saw a comment that said, like, how do you cry with no tears?
Yeah, I felt like that might have been too much. I feel like she's also one of the people who are kind of, like, just doing it for the clout.
Really?
Especially the whole, like, Nick and Olandra thing.
Okay. So
there was a video I saw today where they're saying a new age couple. I'm like, what you guys saying? Are you saying mixed race couples or something new age thing?
That's weird.
I know, it's really weird. So at least that's the kind of like way I kind of took it, but maybe they weren't going for that. But yeah, I'm just saying that relationship just seems very manufactured in my eyes.
Interesting that you say that, because you know what?
Because I don't have the context again. Remember, I didn't see how the relationship kind of played out on the show. Like, I saw how it kind of started, mm-hmm. but it just never felt real to me.
That's very interesting that you say that.
Why?
So on the show, mm-hmm. they were like, Nick was always attracted to her. Mm-hmm. And I think she found him attractive too, but she kind of set her eyes on another guy named Taylor, the mm-hmm. guy with the dreads. Mm-hmm.
And which made no sense to me. That is like lanky as hell. And
because her type is a country man. She's from the South.
Yeah.
And he's a country. He comes from one of the richest like black families in the South.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
But she doesn't. She didn't know that.
Mm, no, did she now?
She didn't know that.
Did she know?
She didn't know.
Did
but,
she? Okay.
But the crazy thing is that she really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never attracted to her. But Ace mm-hmm. revealed on his interview with Speedy mm-hmm. that Taylor was influenced. And by influenced, he basically implied that mm-hmm. the producers either encouraged Ace to encourage him mm-hmm. or the producers encouraged him in general mm-hmm. to continue to pursue Olandria, even though he wasn't attracted to her. Like, he's like, yeah, they had a connection. Mm-hmm. Like, they vibe, but he wasn't attracted to her. And I guess for him, that was really important.
Yeah.
And so you can see, like, if you watch the season, you can literally see him, like, struggling to, like, be physical with her, like, in any aspect and, like, just be affectionate mm. towards her.
There was one point where I walked in and she was confronting him about that and be like, hey, like, you know, we haven't really been getting physical, whatever. Like, what's going on? I've been trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened after that. The next time I came in, they weren't together anymore.
Yeah. So, like, Ace would constantly have to, like, encourage him and help him plan dates mm-hmm. to try and show her that he likes her.
Mm-hmm.
Only for Casa Amor to happen. And then his
this
actual
Casa Amor.
Okay. Casa Amor is like a spin that happened, a twist, mm-hmm. where halfway through their time there, mm-hmm. They basically, the girls and guys get separated,
mm-hmm.
and the girls or guys go to a different villa called Casa Amor.
Yeah.
And they have a whole bunch of new guys there, and then a whole bunch of new girls come to see the guys,
mm-hmm.
and then they have a week to explore and connect.
Is that like the famous Spanish video we saw where the guy's running on the beach? Oh, what was that TikTok? The guy running on the beach. Pass me the phone. Pass me my damn phone. Pass me up. No, I can't switch on there.
Yes, you can. TikTok?
Yeah.
What are you
oh, my to? God. That is... Oh, shoot.
Por favor, Montoya. Por favor. Por favor, Montoya.
I'm pretty sure this is from like a Spanish version of that same show, cause like,
I don't even know what that is.
It was another dating show where they kind of had a similar concept,
mm-hmm.
And then they took him specifically and like showed him what his girl was doing in the other place. Oh no, sorry, this show was a little different. They took real relationships. Sorry,
isn't that Temptation?
Yeah,
Island?
Yeah, I think it's Temptation Island. My bad, I'm getting confused with another show. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But
yeah, so. So anyways, Taylor's type actually mm-hmm. comes in, which is Clark.
Yeah.
And then he brings Clark back from Casa Amor.
Mm-hmm.
Or like basically the girls were at Casa Amor. The girls come back. Olandria sees he's with Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And like she honestly, mm-hmm. she took it on the chin really well.
Yeah.
And he basically told her like, I'm going to actually continue. Like I'm going to get to know her and you at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
When really he never liked Olandria like that.
Yeah.
So he just kind of like strung her along because producers.
So they are messing with the show.
They can strongly encourage.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like obviously you make your own decision.
Mm-hmm. But they, you know, if producers can strongly encourage, they can also strongly control the votes. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but like I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Season 6,
mm-hmm.
there was a girl named Leah. And a guy named Rob, who similar to like Jeremiah and Huda, like mm-hmm. they kind of connected immediately in the beginning.
Yeah.
It got really toxic. And then they like broke up,
mm-hmm.
but they're both still in the house. But
yeah.
producers really wanted them to get back together.
Mm-hmm.
But then another guy comes in named Miguel, and him and Leah are kind of like exploring.
Yeah.
And they really, really like each other, but they really want to push for Rob to get back with Leah. And so they would influence the other house guests, the other islanders,
mm-hmm.
to be like, go talk to Rob. So you would notice because some conversations, they'd be like they like pretend you're Rob. They'd
yeah.
be like, so Rob, like, you know, Leah, like, I feel like you guys still have a connection.
How do they even do this? Do they have like an earpiece that they're telling this?
No, like they probably don't show
the
it.
Professionals
but
and stuff like
the
that.
The producers probably come and they'll be like, listen, you need mm-hmm. to like, you should encourage
yeah.
them to go for Rob.
Kind of taints the whole experience, and, don't you think?
But the thing is that Leah never listened and neither did Miguel. So mm-hmm. they, like, for Miguel, he actually said it in an interview where he, because of the producers were telling him, like, stay away from Leah,
mm-hmm.
he was ready to leave. And they're like, no, don't leave. Like, just stay. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up winning.
See, so like if they really listen, then they because it would be one thing if there wasn't.
Oh, sorry, money. They didn't win. They were in the top three. Just
but
kidding.
Still, it would be one thing if there wasn't money involved. But when there's money involved, like you're influencing a game, you can cost someone the winning prize.
The thing is that the producers obviously, like, because this show gets filmed and then mm-hmm. put out immediately, it's not like over.
Yeah, like it's like on basically live.
Yeah. The producers can see who's popular. Mm-hmm. And Leah was part of PPG, mm-hmm. which is like the Powerpuff Girls.
Okay.
I think that's what it was called. I think that's what it stands for. Mm-hmm. But like they were really, really popular in their season. Mm-hmm. So even if she wasn't listening to the producers, they were never going to get rid of her because she's so popular.
Well, season six is for another day. Okay.
Season six was like good.
We've gone on a long time here.
I know.
We haven't even gotten to like...
We can leave the last topic for next week, I think.
Okay. That's like we'll leave the other vibe. Topics.
Yeah.
There was a lot that we talked about on this episode, guys. I know. We didn't even get to cover any comments, but we'll do that another week.
Yeah.
I know kind of ending it very quickly, but it's been literally an hour and a half, so.
We've really become yappers. We used to struggle to like get to an hour.
Actually, you know what? We've gotten better in the past 50 episodes. I feel like now we're kind of like just roll. We can roll with it. We can do it.
We're just yapping.
Yeah, exactly. African yappers. What are we calling these?
Wasn't it African booty scratch?
No, what? No, it was not that. I'm canceling that out of here. But one thing we're not canceling is this channel. So make sure you hit the subscribe button and hit the like button. And leave a comment below in your responses to anything that we talked about today, whether it be Love Island, whether it be being a cat parent, or injuries that you might have randomly woken up with recently. So you know,
the last bad movie that you watched and want us to check
out. Or your experience watching War of the World with Ice Cube. Whatever it is, leave it down there in the comments. Make sure to follow us at Cousin Connection Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. We leave clips on there at least once or twice a week. And if you've done all that, we'll see
you. Comment on our YouTube channel, on our latest video, on this video.
I just said that.
I know, but if you have done everything that Amir just told you to do, comment, give me an emoji, specific one.
A man playing golf.
A man playing golf, and we will give you a special shout out in the next episode.
Yeah. Shout out to all your golfers out there.
So random.
We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.